WSKVLocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security & Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM. Good to be back in the studio, Ken. Don't know about you, we've done a couple of these on the road the last little bit, so got the district tournament all lined up. It's kind of nice to be back in the studio.
Yeah, I agree. Well, actually, I was looking early at the schedule and realized it's been almost 3 weeks since we've actually been in here. We've not been back in here since the 2nd.
We were back.
We missed the one post.
I was going to say, yeah, but we haven't been back in here, I guess,
since the 9th.
COVID was still something.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah, it's quickly, hopefully becoming not much of a something.
Yeah, the numbers are not low, like it's nothing, but we still have some issues. They're, again, only down to once a week as far as posting the numbers that we have as far as COVID in Kentucky and by counties.
Yeah, actually, I just now realized my chair was going down. Yeah. It was. Yeah. When you're talking, kind of lost my concentration there in a sense as far as like with you there. But the fact that the numbers are actually going down is very promising, as people, at least in Powell County, will recognize that we are no longer requiring masks in the school system. It is optional if people choose to actually wear the mask. A lot of people not wearing the mask. You know, it's kind of interesting when you see people without the mask, how you kind of get a true reflection of kind of
who they are.
Yeah, kind of, you know, especially, yeah. You know, where obviously we work in the schools, and when you're seeing kids, you get a different perspective. You know, when you're just basically seeing above their nose and their eyes, in a sense, and their hair, and all of a sudden they take that off and just like, oh, okay.
You know, I'm retired and I'm still coaching, and some of these girls that I have on my team, I don't know what they look like fully until
you know, this has happened.
And they take his mask off. It is good to see the face. Sometimes you get expressions out of kids or whatever, but you know, you wonder, since the restriction has been lifted, as far as it's still optional. I subbed Monday, Tuesday, and I probably saw maybe a handful of kids was about all that you're going to find still wearing the mask. And you've had a handful of teachers that were probably wearing their mask. So, I'm sure people are just tickled to death to be without the mask. The problem I see is if we do have a little bit of a spike because we're now without the mask, I know that last night during the State of the Union address, they talked about it, and I'm thinking, I don't think that's correct. You know, CDC said we don't really need masks anymore because it's not as contagious. Well, it's not as contagious because people are vaccinated. And it's not as deadly as it once was because people are vaccinated. Still, people are not vaccinated. So if you still had a little spike of cases, you could still get sick. And I just wonder if in 2 weeks, we'll see whether or not it's a big deal or not.
I think you're exactly right. We actually had our family fun night last night at school. Had a great turnout and everything. Of course, people weren't wearing their masks, as they should, because it's optional. But I agree with you. After that encounter, I was thinking, okay, this is really the first time in
years.
Little more than 2 years, because it's actually three parts of school years, in a sense, you know, as far as when this has kind of taken effect and everything. So thinking, okay, under those circumstances, let's hope nothing happens regardless. But still, you're exactly right. Let's see in a couple of weeks if that had any kind of effect. But I think people are being, very conscious, if you will, as far as how they feel comfortable. And obviously, if you feel healthy, you know what I'm saying? There shouldn't necessarily be an issue. And I get there's asymptomatic out there, but I still think that people, you know, if all of a sudden if you have a cough, if you have a fever, if you're not feeling well or something, I think people are kind of still being aware and safe to try and stay away.
Yeah, one of the players texted me today at school, said I won't be practice, not feeling well, running a little fever. I said, well, yeah, don't come to practice. Maybe you need to go get tested. Do you have any symptoms? And I think she wound up telling me, I think I'll just go ahead and go to the doctor and see. Again, safest way to do that. And, you know, they had had COVID previously, and is it, can you get it again as quick? So those answers are still kind of, who knows that answer? You know,
right.
You know what I mean? So I don't think, you know, cause it's been probably a couple months since they've had it. Does that mean that they're free? I don't know. I mean, it's not an answer that I can give.
Well, I think in general terms, again, I think people are being consciously aware. Obviously, it's getting warmer. You know, of course, you know as well as I do. I mean, it could turn around in another 10 days or something, and we could have snow in Kentucky. But I think the fact that the temperature is getting warmer, you know, you're kind of out of that flu window, in a sense, as far as that winter flu. I think even with the COVID, I think you're exactly right. We'd shared once before as far as the high numbers of people that have been vaccinated in Powell County. Our cases are trending down. So, again, in so many ways, it is a great sign. And in Powell County, as we'd mentioned before, the health department is only giving numbers on Mondays now. So it's basically a weekly summary. So this is from February the 21st through the 28th. And there were 53 new cases that were confirmed. That brought the total case count to 4,816. Unfortunately, 4 deaths had been reported during that stretch, bringing the total death count to 38 in the county. What's interesting, too, is that the CDC has new community-level guidelines, in a sense. It's a new tool that they're using to help decide, you know, prevention steps based on hospitalizations and cases. So the new tool still shows that Powell County's community level is still high. Now, at this point, obviously, the numbers are trending down where we've been. So hopefully in the next week, by the time Monday rolls around, hopefully that 53 number has gone down even further. We can get down to the medium and then eventually the low. So they've kind of replaced the red, if you will, and the orange and the yellow and the green and all that, and tried to simplify it, in a sense, under those circumstances.
Well,
so
it's kind of like education. You just change the term. It's something different, right?
Correct. Yeah, just
same
keep it,
thing, something
keep
different.
It a little simple. Yeah, you're exactly right. So, again, at this point, we're actually still high. And high basically is a high potential for healthcare system strain and high level of severe illness. Next is medium, which would be your yellow, some impact on healthcare system, more people with severe illness. And then low is limited impact of healthcare system and low levels of severe illness. So, again, basically it would be red, yellow, green, even though they've simplified it in a sense as far
explain
as what that
what
means.
The colors meant.
Correct, yes, yeah. So, again, we're trending down. Let's hopefully it continues to trend down. And just to give you an idea, that prior week of February the 14th through the 20th, we had 124 cases. So we've gone from 124 exactly and cut that number in half, so more than half.
Next week we're down, cut it half again, we're at 26, which is still going to be in the high range.
For us, yeah, with our population.
But then we get down the next week at 13, then we're kind of looking a little better, if those are the way that trends.
Correct. And then the week after that is spring break, and we'll see what happens after that.
Well, I mean, you know, but nationally, though, the good thing about it is nationally the numbers are down.
Yes.
So even if folks do travel on spring break to some of those what we used to call hotspots, I don't think it's as bad now as it was. And if you're outside enjoying the beach or wherever you want to go, it won't be as bad if you're outside most of the time. If you go in, you got to be careful maybe. But you just still have to kind of watch your surroundings and make sure you cover up if you're coughing or sneezing or whatever, but and protect others if you think you're ill.
Correct. And I'll give you some state numbers here. In Kentucky, 2,334 new cases. Of those new cases, 585 are under 18. So 18 and under at 585 cases across the state. 35 new deaths, bringing the total death toll to 13,935. And the positivity rate, 7.73%.
Positivity rate's going the right direction. But when you talk about the number of kids under 18, still kind of concerning because that percentage has actually gone up, right? We're at 20% now? Well, maybe we've been at 20% the entire time, I think. Never mind. So we've been close to 20, 25%, I think, for the most of the last few periods we've checked. They're pretty much the highest. They're not the highest number, but you're also talking about 18 and below is this number. Everybody else is this. So it's still a high number with the 18 blows.
Yeah, you know, again, you're still looking at, you know, roughly 25%, give or take.
Yeah.
You know, but still, that's still a high number.
For one age group.
Yeah, exactly, for an age group. And then it came out, the Pfizer, vaccine, not necessarily as effective with the population of 5 years to 11 years. That and of course, you know as well as I do, the chemistry within that, you know, they're trying to tweak it and not necessarily give an adult dosage, and maybe they've tweaked the wrong things out, in a sense, in order to get that combination. But
maybe they don't cut half out. You only cut a fourth out, and maybe you still come up with a effective dosage.
Yeah, after a month, basically, it goes down to like 17% effectiveness, so it definitely trickles off after that. Now it's just a matter of them revising that formula, in a sense, and try and make it a little bit more effective.
Good luck with that, because a month is not very good as far as if you had to get a vaccine every month, basically, to be able to be at a safer rate. I don't think there's a lot of people going to do that.
Right. You're exactly right.
I mean, probably me included. I probably wouldn't want to get one every month. Every 6 months, I could probably tolerate, but every month would be a little bit overboard.
Yeah, and if you're interested in a really good job, I'd say chemical engineering might not be a bad option.
Well, you know, there you go. We got to get kids out there and get them to start working, I guess. So we're going to take a break, come back. We'll talk sports after the break here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken.
Hello, this is Daryl Billings for Tanner Chrysler Products here in Stanton. As a native Powell County, and I was taught a long time ago that nothing was better anywhere than it was right here in our hometown. That still holds true today when you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. Buying local not only stimulates our own economy, but enhances the very foundation of our community. I invite you to shop Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram before you leave to purchase a vehicle. I can assure you that you will be treated fairly and squarely right here at home.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Hurt your ankle at practice? Or maybe you caught that stomach bug from your friend at school? Come to Clark Regional for the fastest and most effective care you can get from only the best of doctors. So, don't worry when you sprain your ankle making that crowd-pleasing flip. You'll be back on the field in no time.
Advancing quality care in our community. Text CHEER to 606-663-2811 to find out how you can support your Powell County Cheerleaders.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live. Ken and I are doing a little work between breaks. It's a good thing to be doing, right?
Yeah, sometimes it catches us off guard.
Productive.
You know, where we're trying to get ourselves caught up in a sense, only to realize that, oh, well, there's our cue, there's the music, and time to get back to live action here.
Yeah, those risers are really good for us to know it's time to come back to live action. So let's start first here with the tournament that started first, and we'll start with the 14th Region Girls Tournament, which started on Sunday, which was a big deal. I counted them up, Ken. There were three regions that played Sunday out of the 16 regions. Three chose to play on that Sunday.
Wow, I'm still surprised. You know, didn't necessarily agree with it, but it's out of our hands in a sense. But
and another thing, two of those regions played other games. One region only played half.
Wow, I wonder why you would even do that.
I get
playing them all, but I don't know why you would do the half.
Why you play two, the other two on Monday. That's the way that region decided to do it, was play two on Sunday, two on Monday. But I think they stayed away for more church times, even Sunday morning and Sunday evening. So maybe that was the reason that region chose to go that direction. So I know a lot of people were maybe not liking the choices that were made by the policy board, but there it is. Again, Sunday play, we were there to cover the first game of the tournament, which was Letcher County Central versus Powell County. And Powell County really fought hard there in the first half. Had a bad run late in the first half. I think they were, up one. And I think Ledger went on an 8-0 run.
Correct. 20-19 was the score. They went on an 8-0 run before Presley Hall hit a three at the buzzer to close out the first half to bring them within four. because they were trailing by 7 at that point, even though it was an 8-0 run. They ended up trailing at the half 27-23.
So, again, a pretty good first half for Powell County. If you'd have told me they were going to be trailing before at halftime, I would have said take it every day. But they wound up getting coming out in the second half, and Letcher County meant business early on and kind of really finished that game, in my opinion, in the third quarter when they wound up winning at 64-41. Again, Letcher County ranked the best, the number one team in the 14th region girls, and looked like it, especially in that second half.
Yeah, I think the Lady Pirates, in a sense, they were in it. I felt like the three by Presley Hall really gave the Lady Pirates good momentum going in to the half. The Lady Pirates have the ball to start the second half. A turnover, Letcher Central scores, and at that point, it was almost like the Lady Pirates things didn't necessarily go their way, and things kept going Letcher County Central's way. Whether it was the shots weren't falling, Letcher Central was making their shots. You know, they didn't necessarily get as many fast break opportunities in the second half, but nonetheless, they already had extended that lead and then just kind of just kept pressing on.
Yeah, it just seemed like to me they almost backed out of the press totally, Letcher Central, and just kind of worked focused on that half-court pressure. I think Powell kind of came down really early and tried to catch up with the threes, if my memory's correct, and missed a couple. And those are just like turnovers. If you don't get the rebound, they go down and score. It's a wasted opportunity. And went on a little bit of a bad run early in the third and wound up being, again, a 23-point loss. Again, the score is not indicative of the way the game was played, but it is the final score nonetheless. And on the game, congratulations to Makaira Cottle for being chosen as the all-tournament team member for Powell County.
Yeah, she had a nice game. I think she finished with 17 points that particular game. It's unfortunate that the Lady Pirates, I don't think any one player maybe scored 8 points and everybody else was like around two or whatever else. Offensively, the Lady Pirates really struggled in a sense to hit their shots and or even get open looks. Now,
right.
Credit Letcher Central's defense. Yes. I mean, they were outstanding in the full court pressure and the half court defense, and it just created problems for the Lady Pirates. And, you know, when you have starters that, you know, can't get more than 2 points in the game and coming in averaging, you know, double figures, 10 points, let's say, 8 points, 10 points, and you're limiting them to 2 points, you know, that says a lot about the defense. But I will say this about the Lady Pirates. They came a long way in a short period of time, starting with the district tournament. They were underdogs going into that opening round game. They ended up winning, played a nice game against Owsley County, could have won the district championship, lost by 37-35. On a last second foul call, you know, questionable. I get that sometimes that whistle blows or whatever else, but there were some other whistle blows in a sense that were kind of costly for the Lady Pirates during that game against Owsley County. But again, Owsley County is an outstanding team. Coach Travis Smith does a nice job. But I think for Rob Marion in his first year as the Lady Pirate coach, he did a nice job with his team. Again, they came a long way in a short period of time to end the season. It's just unfortunate that their season had to end, that they didn't have those, to use a Coach Cal term, you know, to tweak. You know, when Rob tweaked things for the Lady Pirates, it seemed to have kind of clicked. It's unfortunate that that tweak didn't come necessarily earlier. But, you know, you're filling out your team, and you have to make adjustments to different teams and who you're playing. But I felt like he did a nice job down the stretch. And, you know, you lose four seniors on that team, Kenna and Kaylin Neal, Kansas Stevens, and Presley Hall. They are definitely going to be missed as far as what each one of those players offer to this team. But I'm sure Coach Rob Marion will get his team ready and prepared. And we've talked about this time again in that now it's up to these Lady Pirate players. And I get that some players play other sports, get involved in other activities. But it's during the off season that you can make huge strides personally with your game, whether that's shooting free throws in the gym or at your house or a friend's house or wherever else, dribbling the ball left-handed, right-handed. Again, working on your skill set during this off time, because if you want to be ordinary, don't do anything. You want to be extraordinary, put in that extra effort, especially during the off season, to keep yourself ready and fresh. That way when ball season rolls back around again, you're prepared in order to make a good run for your team.
Yeah, the one thing I would say this team needs more than anything is probably some strength and conditioning, or some strength. They need to probably get in and lift some weights and get stronger to be more competitive for a length of the season if they're going to, the way they want to play. I think they got to get stronger. Going back, look at some statistics on the game, Ken. Presley Hall had 11 points. You're right. Bakar was 17, Presley with 11. And like you said, everybody else was three or less for 41 points. Now, what kind of surprised me a little bit there, when you look at the just the raw numbers, Powell County only shot about 27% from threes, which is not good enough. And their two-point percentage was about only like 33, 34% on the game. That number needs about 45 or 50. So the poor shooting did affect them. But if they make every shot that they get, or if they, let's say they make 60%, they still lose. They did get enough shots up during the game,
right,
to compete with what Letcher Central did. So that's how good Letcher Central's defense was on that particular day. They were really strong. So it really limited Powell County what they could do. Bright spot, if you will, 72% from the line, on the free throw line.
That was great.
Best game of the season.
Yeah, they were 7 out of 7 going into the fourth quarter. Yep. And I think at that point they were like maybe 7 out of 11 in the fourth quarter. But still, you know, I mean, they improved the number.
Yeah.
That's what you want to ask. Now, if they go forward and can stay consistent with that 72% going forward, you know, again, the core of the team as far as the bench players and those role players that were able to come in, they should have a good team next year. They're not necessarily going to have the height, and I'm not sure how you make adjustments not having height down underneath in a sense, but you've got speed, you've got quickness, you've got some shooters, and maybe at that point you just kind of hopefully run and gun and press and see if you can't pull some upsets. But Letcher County Central is an outstanding team. Again, very few teams have even beat them this year, so the Lady Pirates needed to have literally their best game of the season and shoot lights out in all facets of the game. They just didn't necessarily get enough looks. And then going back to the full court pressure, they got up a lot of points early on that were some baskets in transition for Letcher Central. At that point, not that so much that the Lady Pirates were down a lot, but still those points end up adding up, and you'd like to have those possessions back.
There's just not enough possessions in the game to catch up with what Letcher did, and their defense was sound. Again, that game, in my opinion, they've been opinion for the last few weeks. If we could keep the game in the 40s or less, we have a chance. If not, we're probably going to lose. So we'll talk more about that in a minute, because I think about another game coming up for the Pirates. Game two was Wolf County versus Perry Central. Wolf County had been playing really good basketball here late in the season. Perry County came in ranked, I think, third in the region. Wolf County took them to the last few seconds. Wolf led most of the game.
Yeah, up to about a minute to go, basically, in the game. And I really felt like that Wolf was probably going to pull off the upset and just had too many missed opportunities. I think Perry ended up going on like a 12-2 run to end the game.
Yeah.
You know, and at that point, that's tough.
Oh, they had steadily had a 6-8-point lead there at Wolf County. And from what I listened to the radio on the way back home after we had already separated, we went back after we drove home. I was heading home listening to the game, and it just seemed like it fell apart. They started pressing, some turnovers from Wolf County, and that's all she wrote. Perry made, I think, four straight baskets, and again, 144-42. Now, the Letcher Central-Perry Central matchup, 61-47, much the same as the Powell County game, and a similar score. So the way I looked at that, Powell County, you hold your head high because, you know, Perry County, number three team in the region, well, difference was about the same. Between Letcher and Perry. So Letcher County is in the final, in the finals now, and we'll talk about their upcoming opponent as we go down the brackets. So round one was the third game of the day, was Owsley County versus Knott County. Again, this is a game where Powell County could have been in had maybe the call don't happen, or who knows. But we can speculate if we will.
Or even the read. It wasn't the redraw with this one. It was the boys.
Right? It was the boys had the redraw. Okay. No, the girls had the redraw, but it turned out to be exactly the same. It's just different brackets.
Correct. Right. Yeah.
And it was Owsley County winning over Knott Central, number two team in the region. Owsley County, I think, rated fifth in the region. Defeat number two, Knott, 52-42, and a pretty sound victory over the Lady Patriots. And in the nightcap was Leslie County just really kind of handling Breathitt County fairly easily, 70-51 in the nightcap. And then Owsley yesterday defeated Leslie 60-49. Owsley to the championship game versus Letcher. So I'm not saying Powell County would have had the same run Owsley County did to get there, but you kind of, you wonder. It's just a one-point game. If it had been different, does Powell run out the bottom? We had talked about it even up there. The top bracket was tough.
It, definitely.
And we thought it would be another Letcher not matchup likely, but now it is Letcher-Owsley and in the championship game. I'm going to say good luck, Owls, and especially since Bobby Bowling, by the way, I saw this out there, he was named posthumously the 14th Region AD of the Year. Great, great honor for Bobby to get that award. That's nice of them to go ahead and let that be known. But again, Owsley County against Letcher, that game will be played March the 4th. That is Friday, and game time is 7 o'clock at Perry Central.
I will say this, too. Both of those teams played each other during the regular season,
yes,
Letcher
did.
And Owsley. And Letcher Central, 69-47 over Owsley County. So, again, Letcher County Central is just the cream of the crop coming out of 14.
Look at this one. Owsley also played Leslie early in the season. Leslie won that matchup only by two. But Leslie did beat them earlier and not beat Owsley earlier in the season by a pretty good margin. I believe maybe 10 points or 12. And Owsley came back and looks, to me, Owsley is a much better team the second half. Powell County had their number for the district championship game. And this is a team that blew out Powell County. It really blew them out twice, or handily twice. I'm going to say blowouts, but they handily beat Powell County twice regular season. And tell you what, Powell came up with a game plan on district championship night that was one play away from being district champions. So you kind of put that out there and you think, what would happen if? Well, you can't do that. And I'm not sure the Lady Pirates were good enough to go hand the Knott County Lady Patriots that defeat, because they just whopped us too, I believe, regular season. But nonetheless, Owsley County coming in, good luck to the Lady Owls, but they got their hands full with Letcher Central.
I think both of those teams, really, when you look at the composite of players that are in the rotation, they're very well evenly matched. I think they both have enough quality players that, on one hand, it could go either way. Of course, that initial game between the two, that was early on in the season.
So Owsley played their worst basketball
early. They did, yeah. So I think this will be much closer, and I honestly think I almost feel like it's a toss-up, just knowing how much Owsley has improved. Letcher's been solid all season long, basically, but Owsley has closed that gap, and it's going to make for a great championship.
I think so, too. Again, good luck both teams. Letcher, Owsley, in the championship game on Friday night for the girls' 14th region title.
Nope, tomorrow night. Friday night. You're right. Friday night.
Yeah, boys play tomorrow night.
There you go. We're in action here. Yes, Friday night. My apologies.
And we'll try to get you some boys' scores before we leave the show now on the game one from Breathitt County High School on the boys'. So we're going to take a break here on PCSN Live. Be back with the boys' 14th region draw and what we look at as the predictions as we can give you here tonight as they start the 14th regional boys' tournament tonight at Breathitt County High School. But we're David Ken. We're going to take a break. Be back in a moment.
Community. What does the word mean to you? Here at Citizens Guaranty Bank, community means everything. It's why we do what we do. As our community grows, we are here to be your helping hand, putting your dreams to work. Our community has very exciting opportunities and challenges. Let us help you build your future and meet the future needs of our community. My name is James Clark, the Powell County Market President here at Citizens Guaranty Bank. At Citizens, we are your hometown bank, and we are here for you because we are you.
Stop by any of our convenient locations in Stanton, Irvin, Berea, Richmond, and London. My money, my bank, my CGB.
Citizens Guaranteed Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Qualifications and rules may apply. See institution for details.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
And Eric, you back again. Here we are still working.
Yeah, it's a good thing we have the queue. Thank Ethan Moore, our program manager, general manager here at the radio station.
If they say people that go on radio shows don't do anything, we're sitting here doing a lot of paperwork as we're going through the show, so maybe we won't have to stay to 7:30.
Well, yeah, and just so everyone knows, we're actually looking forward to the next sports that are coming up. We're already ahead to softball and baseball, and that's nothing against the Powell County Pirates, who will be playing tomorrow night. As much as we've got to get ourselves on the right page, figure out what we can and can't do with schedules and all of that kind of thing.
Because who knows? It's again, old Dave here is going to be coaching some softball again, so it's Ken. I may be available for a few games, and then making sure we have enough people to cover the games. It's kind of what we're going through, plus the ECSN broadcast. We'll have to figure that out at a later date. We can't kind of go back and forth. I think they are going to be NFHS for their games because I believe they have their new, and I'll say this again, they had new facilities done over at Estill County. I want to kind of put a little plug out there.
Right. Powell County Athletics is waiting for their upgrade in facilities, right?
Yeah. Could you tell my tone on that one? They got new stuff at Estill County.
Yeah, but it's needed across the board. Pick any sport, and it's needed here in Powell County.
Well, I mean, they're really going out over there. All new turf football, new dugouts, press box, concession areas for baseball and softball, plus all the wiring, I think, now for the NFHS to be added, I think, to those sports. So I'll give them a little plug as we go forward here on the Estill County side. I think they're doing a really good job for their programs.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So if anybody has lots of money out there that they would like to donate to the Powell County Athletics and maybe have a facility named after you, then I'm sure they will take your money.
Well, sure. Well, we'll do anything we can. Again, there's a lot of us. There's so many upgrades. It's a whole show.
Yeah.
We want to talk upgrades to what we need to do. And you know, I understand schools are academic in nature, but athletics is so important to so many people, and even the communities get involved. It's just something I think people need to look at when you're at the Board of Education or superintendent, those people, the principals, everyone who's on the facilities plans. They would volunteer to be on one of those facilities plans if you'd ask him, but you know, just kind of throw my name out there.
Well, on one hand, too, as we know, because a lot of the games that we cover, obviously, we're going east.
Yeah.
Those counties take so much pride in their high school athletics across the board. And I'm not saying that Powell County doesn't, but yet, when you look at the big school districts going east and the new facilities that they have, if we're not careful, we're going to fall further and further behind within the facilities that it's not going to necessarily be well for our student athletes. And ultimately, it's about our student athletes playing a game for our entertainment.
And it's not just baseball, softball. It's soccer. It's football. It's everybody. We need more facilities for basketball. We need all kinds of upgrades. Like I said, we could do a whole show on what we need, but getting that put on paper in a plan would be the wise thing to do if that's the choice that the district wanted to go.
But if you've ever played any sport, you realize that there are life lessons to be learned within athletics. And I I get that a lot of people understand that, but there truly are. There's so many lessons to be learned, especially for these young minds.
And I'll go a step further. Extracurricular activities.
Period. Right.
Whether it's FFA, it's FCCLA, it's FBLA, DECA, band, cheer, the athletics programs, all those, you have to learn time budgeting. And I tell you what, when these kids leave the high school, I don't know there's a more hireable product than the student athletes who participated in extracurricular activities at the high school. They're to me, some of the most hireable people you can have, because they understand work ethic. They understand all kinds of other things that all kids don't get. I'm not saying there's a pick and a favorite here, but because they practice every day, because they have to budget time, have to maintain a certain grade level, there's responsibilities they have as a high school student that others don't. I'll tell you what, it puts you out there on a different plane, in my opinion. So that's our 3-minute rant on that subject. We'll go ahead with 14th Region Basketball. So tonight, the tip-off game at Breathitt County, the Coliseum, which had some upgrades due to storm damage in the old Coliseum, which absolutely I love. I love coaching there. I love for the kids playing there. It's kind of like the old Hazard Gymnasium. I love tournaments there. I know it sounds odd to some people, but it's so, I don't know. I like playing at Owsley County. One of my favorite gyms to go in a district atmosphere. Go to everything. Everybody's on top of each other. It's so, I don't know. It's a different environment when you go play there in those gyms. But the Coliseum is one that's it's really fun to go watch a game or participate in one. This was Cordia and Hazard. Cordia is the winner out of the 53rd. Hazard, the runner-up from the 54th. What is a pretty good matchup to start the tournament at Breathitt County?
Yeah, I think Cordia might be a surprise for some people in a sense.
Well,
but
for me, they were.
Yeah, agree, because you don't necessarily, that's not necessarily a team that you see year in and year out like you do, you know, the Hazards, the Perrys, that kind of thing. So for them to kind of be there as an outlier, if you will, but they actually have a pretty good team.
Yeah, 14-11 is the record. They're 7-4 in district play, or region play, excuse me, 4-1 in district play, and they're in a tough district. They're in with Knott, Letcher. I'm not sure if Jim Buchanan had a team or not, and they did not. So it's just those three, Letcher, Knott, and Cordia.
Oh, Cordia. Yeah,
and Cordia was, yeah, looked like they're picked fourth by the RPI. They're the fourth-rated team in the 14th region. Behind Hazard, they are 6/10 of a point behind Hazard, coming in at 18-10 record. Matchups previous to this one, let's see if they play. They did play Hazard, lost by 12, and that game was at Hazard earlier in the season, that back in January the 19th. So they have played Hazard before, and they lost by 12. So we'll see where, you know, they also lost to Knott County earlier in the season, and absolutely beat them by 2 in the district game that got them to the regional tournament. So and they won the 14th, or they won the 53rd district. So not a bad team. So we'll have to see how that game goes, and if we get an update, we'll kind of bring that to you as we go through this.
Game number 2 is going to have Estill County versus Wolf County. I think that's one of the most intriguing games to me that's being played tonight. I think that's kind of one of those. Wolf has improved as the season's gone along. Obviously, Estill, the district regular season champion, as well as the tournament champion, it ought to make for a good matchup.
Yeah, Wolf County, they played them earlier in the season. Estill did. They defeated Wolf County by 11. That was at Estill County. So they have had a prior matchup, and it didn't go well for the Wolves. However, this is tournament time, and Robert Scott always has his kids ready. Both, I think it's going to be a close ball game. I think both these games tonight may be the best games on the boys' side of the bracket. Now, the bottom side of the bracket is absolutely loaded. So we'll give you that teaser and go there and look at the bottom half of the brackets, and then we'll kind of tell you what we kind of think might happen as we go forward here. If you got yours pulled up, mine's now loading.
Yeah. So the first game tomorrow night at 6 o'clock start, Breathitt County versus Knott County
Hello.
Central.
Hello. That's a good one.
That is a good one. You're exactly right. To me, again, I think the teams that are in the 14th region that are playing out, these are the top teams, you know, and I think, and obviously once you get to tournament time, anything can happen. It goes back to the game plan and executing that game plan. Your shot's falling. Everything has to kind of all align up, but yet that Breathitt Knott Central game should be really good.
Three of the top five teams in the 14th are in the bottom bracket. Two of the five are in the top bracket. Three of the five in the bottom bracket. Breathitt Knott, it's at Breathitt. Knott beat them earlier in the season. We saw Breathitt play. How people, I don't really know how people beat Breathitt because they're so long, so athletic, and but they're very young. So that may be the problem they have, is they're a young team, and I think they're playing from the best coaches in the 14th region. Some folks disagree with me, but John Noble, in my opinion, is one of the better coaches, I think, in the 14th. We'll have to see how that plays out. You got a really good coach there in Knott County as well. There's definitely no argument that he's not one of the best coaches in the 14th as well.
I agree. I think that if you're not, in a sense, not so much that you're the underdog, but you kind of are playing at Breathitt County.
You're a district loser playing a district winner, right?
Correct. And I think the fact that it's at Breathitt, I think if it's at someplace else, you know what I'm saying? Maybe it's a little bit closer, but I think you almost have to give the nod to Breathitt County being on their home court.
With one exception is that Knott County has so much more experience. Now, this what we talked about. Some radio folks up at the tournament, the girls' tournament. This is a really, really young Knott County team. Like they said, they started three sophomores, a freshman, and maybe a junior. So this is not your typical Knott County team, but it's not a bad Knott County team, however young they are. So the nightcap tomorrow night, again, is the Perry Central Commodores versus the Powell County Pirates. Now, Perry Central, one of the top teams in the bracket. Very tough draw for Powell County. Perry is probably, what, are they ranked second, first? Where are they rated?
Well, I was actually trying to call up my...
You go ahead, I'll go back.
I was trying to call... Well, you know how sometimes my cell phone here, sometimes it'll load. Here we go.
Yeah, Perry is the number one rated team in the region. They are at almost a 67%. RPI.
Yeah.
Breathitt County is two at a 62.3. And then the same gap between Breathitt and Hazard at 55. 7-point gap between those two. And then just right there is Cordia, Wolf. Knott is about 5 points below Wolf. Estill just below Knott. And then Powell County is about 9 points less than Knott County. But they are a whopping 26 points below Perry Central. Definitely an uphill battle for the Pirates tomorrow night.
Yeah, and they didn't play during the regular season.
No.
So at this point, you know, you're not quite sure what you're going to get in that regard. Now, the Pirates have improved as well, just like the Lady Pirates. The Pirates have improved coming down the stretch here in the season. Anything's possible. Again, you're going to have to play your best game of the season in all facets of it. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to be able to hit your shots, rebound, second chance opportunities, not turn the ball over, hit your free throws, play good defense. I mean, again, they have to play a complete game in order to defeat Perry Central, who comes in at 26-4 on the season.
Pretty dang good.
Yeah, that's a pretty good record. Yeah. And the Pirates are at 10-20. So, again, they both played 30 games at this point, but you have to give Perry Central the nod, just because, you're not finding too many people. Four teams have beat them.
We're not being mean, but it's going to be – Powell County's playing some of their best basketball as of late. I'm not saying they can't go up there and win against Perry Central, but, man, they have to have every break going to be able to compete.
It's going to be a battle. Yes, again, you're going to have to show up to play. And play your absolute best game.
To
again,
stay in the game.
And anything's possible. Yeah. Again, I never rule anybody out of any game.
Neither
I mean, in any sport, because even though on paper, whatever else, it looks that way, anything can happen. Turnovers in football, you know what I'm saying? All of a sudden you come down and score, an interception for a score. basketball, you know what I'm saying? The other team's not making their shots, and you're making yours. I mean, again, there's all kinds of factors that can go into it.
And
you can't
more,
count anybody out, but
and,
still.
And there's some other factors, that too, that go into a high school regional champion.
Absolutely.
And I'm not even going to go there. So, again, Perry Central, to me, is the co-favorite along with Breathitt. Then they're in the same bracket. And I really like what I saw in the upper bracket, Cordia versus – I already forgot who Cordia played.
Hazard.
Hazard. Experience goes to Hazard. And that they're rated above Cordia. So I really think Cordia is going to pull that one – or have, sorry, I think Hazard is going to pull that one off against Cordia. And the Wolf-Estill game, that's
– Yeah, that's tonight. That yeah, we'll, when we get off the air –
They're
basically,
on the air.
That, yeah, basically, the Estill County Sports Network with Danny Wood and William Hardy will be bringing you that game here on WSKV.
It won't surprise me on that one. To me, that's the. I think you got a couple. I think you got three coin flip games. The two tonight and the first game tomorrow night are coin flips. Perry's going to be a huge favorite against Powell County. That being said, if I were picking, and you probably don't, you probably might be have a heads up, know who's ahead that first game, but. I think Hazard's going to win game one. Estill may pull out game two. That's just kind of what I'm thinking. But don't surprise me if Wolf County is able to hang on as well.
Well, Wolf County 17-11.
Yeah.
Estill County 16-12. So again, as far as records, they're right there with each other. Even though the RPI is a little bit different, you know, as far as Wolf being a little bit higher. They come in at that 54% and Estill coming in at 48%.
To me, those two teams really get after it defensively. Estill County looks to be a touch stronger than Wolf County when I saw them earlier in the season. So basically, it's whether Wolf County can contain Tolson or not, or I'm sorry, Estill County can contain Tolson, and whether or not Wolf County can contain the shooting of Estill County going in. So should be a really good matchup later on tonight. And again, you can listen to here. To all the action with the ECSN crew with 14th Legion Basketball, that airtime probably around 7:30, I would think.
That would be my guess as well. That the scheduled tip is 8 o'clock, but they'll definitely go on early depending on the first game in a sense. And again, tomorrow we will be on the air. It will be Facebook Live as well as WSKV Radio and the streaming radio. So again, look for us tomorrow night. Approximately 7:30 as well to be on the air from Breathitt County. Hopefully everybody comes out to Breathitt County and watches the game.
Now, I didn't see anything where they're clearing the gym or anything. Did you see anything like that?
I did not. Mm-mm.
So I'm assuming it's first come, first serve. I didn't see anything that they were clearing the gym. So if somebody text one of us real quick, let us know. But I don't think they're having to do that, because if they did, that's not really enough time to get it cleared and get people back in. So if it's first come, first serve, good luck. Because the Coliseum is a nice place to play. I'm not sure it holds the crowd that Perry, Knott, or Powell can hold.
Parking will be at a premium.
Get there real early.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
get there just at the right time where everybody's leaving.
The losing team
is leaving. So, again, just check out 14th Region Basketball. Again, you can check it out probably all over Facebook. Through different places, but the ECSN crew will have all the games
tonight.
I was reading the text
tonight. Again, Estill versus Wolf in boys action.
That'll be on all the different ways you can tune into WSKV, either Facebook Live, streaming, or radio.
Yeah,
but it will not be available through NFHS. Breathitt County is not an NFHS school.
Correct. And then again, tomorrow night for us, approximately 7:30 between Perry County Central and our Powell County Pirates.
And we'll be right back here with more. We're going to set up the next season after the break here on PCSN Live.
Go Pirates.
83% of customers who buy from Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram buy again because of great deals, great service, and a simple way of doing business. The President's Day sales event is going on for a limited time, and all new 2022 Ram pickups are priced to sell. Come see why the Ram truck is Truck of the Year for the last 3 years and for 2022. Also, come see why Tanner is the best place to buy. Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, just off the Mountain Parkway in Stanton.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. You're listening to Pickup Country 104.9 FM, the official home of the Powell County Sports Network. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at listenlikealocal.com for a full schedule of this season's events. This coverage made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, and Citizens Guarantee Bank. Go Pirates!
If you've been waiting on the new Samsung Galaxy S22 device, then the team at Appalachian Wireless has some good news for you. Appalachian Wireless is launching all Samsung S22 models on sale. Every S22 model will be $150 off normal contract pricing. Or take $100 off and we'll pay the taxes on the Appalachian Advantage. Visit one of our retail or dealer locations and on the web, because we don't want you to miss this fantastic deal. We are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. We're just kind of checking out the 14th region game at Breathitt County. And right now it is Hazard over Cordia. And I think we can't hardly...
36-31.
And we're still in the third quarter.
Yep, still 7 minutes to go in the third quarter, so but Hazard with the lead and the ball.
Plenty of time left, and we'll have even time to watch the rest of this when we get out here on WSKV. So real quick here...
Let me mention this just real quick before we go into that. This was posted by the Powell County Athletics Football. Tristan Campbell has signed an official letter of intent to play for Thomas More University. So
the third Powell County Pirate football player to be signed by Thomas More, quarterback Holden Townsend, Stephen Norris, and now
Tristan Campbell,
the tight end.
So congratulations to all three of those guys.
Big time. I know I saw Holden yesterday working at catching the football, so I'm not sure if he's going to be quarterbacking or maybe playing some tight end there. Definitely Tristan be some tight end duties at Thomas More, so, but good luck. And that's another thing, too, when you look at this. You know, Powell County didn't have a great season. Three players have now committed to Thomas More to further their education and to continue their dreams of playing football. That's kind of what the facilities and the stuff's all about here at home with athletics.
Yeah, and if anything, obviously, by playing the sport, you have given yourself an opportunity to get that scholarship, whether it's full or partial or whatever else, to offset those costs.
At least it'll help.
Every little bit helps.
Every little bit helps. At Thomas More, I do know the tuition there has gone down a little bit, so it's a little bit more affordable there at Thomas More than what it used to be, as Cordy just laid a basket in and a foul on the play. So, again, be a good contest going forward. Now, let's turn our gears real quick and look at Major League Baseball. We'll do that for a second before we talk about the high school sports. Have agreed to...
Disagree.
Disagree. So the lockout continues. And now Major League Baseball has, the commissioner, has stepped in and said, okay, now we're going to lose the first six, well, the first two...
Series.
Whether it's a four-game series, six games, whatever it is. I'm assuming it's probably about six games of their schedule coming off. I listened to some of the numbers yesterday. The owners have been making about $7 to $9 billion a year.
Collectively.
The difference between, and the last time they had the contract discussions, Major League Baseball was making about $5 to $7 billion a year. So we've increased the revenue by a couple billion dollars per year. Take out COVID year of 2020, which was a $3.7 billion. You didn't have anybody in the seats.
And you still made that.
And I get it. The owners, if you don't have people that are paying your salaries, you don't have anything to make. The players are making good money. There were some things that they were doing. They were raising the minimum salary. They were doing some other things to raise some other things. I don't know where the difference lies totally, but both sides need to make more concessions to what they're making. Or run the risk of, like we saw back in, when was it, maybe the 90s or early 2000s, when We just kind of got tired of the strike and got tired of no baseball. Forget the owners. Forget the players. Who cares? We'll find other things to go do or watch than watch a bunch of sniveling little babies out there. Either one, whether it be the owner's side or player's side. They're making good money to play a sport we all love. The owners are making a lot of money. I also kind of look at it this way. The owners take the financial risk of having a team. Yes, they're being successful right now. Should they share the wealth? Yeah, but I mean, do we see ownership in any other thing that we do give more to their players? And I get unions and how they work. I'm not opposed to the unions. But when you ask sometimes for unrealistic stuff, it can't better the game. There's something they're asking for to me doesn't better the game. It only betters the top, the elite teams. And, you know, the players, I understand you're trying to do this for the small guys. That's all well and good, but you're going to run out somebody. The middle guys of the road, we had this discussion about a week ago. The middle guys of the road, like the 34-year-old player that is a good player, making $15 million a year, is going to be sitting at the house for a guy making $700,000.
Yeah, you're going to start all over again, right? I'm going to go with the rookie and give him a chance because I can save money, and then I'll pay somebody that's still young that's productive, and I'm going to give them a larger contract.
And that's what's going to happen. It's kind of like when you look at the federal government trying to impose a $15 an hour minimum wage. I totally understand where they're coming from. If you do that, employers are going to hire less people or cut their hours. We're not full time, so they can pay them a lesser wage. Somebody's going to get hurt in all this.
Well, and the price of goods and services is going to go up.
It's going to be back to the consumer. So that $15 you're trying to get them, get for them, their cost is going to go up. That's kind of going to be a flash. It's nothing. How did you help me? Because you're really not, because you're raising all the other prices, so it doesn't matter about my raise.
Well, on one hand, a minimum wage job was never intended to be a living wage. There you go, working wage. It never was. And unfortunately, where we are now, there's not enough people necessarily that are working, so therefore they're increasing what they're willing to pay on the hour, including, you know, down the street, some of these local restaurants are willing to pay more.
But to tell me that $750,000 a year to start is not enough slaps me in the face a little bit. So
I would agree.
I mean, players, I understand what you're trying to fight for, but they were giving everybody a raise. They were kind of doing some other things with the, they were getting their way on some other things, which they need to get some things done. But you don't have a game without owners and you don't have a game without players. I get that.
Well, and you definitely
alienate everybody.
And
if you lose games.
Well, and not only that, but you're alienating fans. And as a fan of Major League Baseball, the longer this goes on, the longer I don't care. I'm not going to go spend my money and go to a game and support you when all of a sudden you've argued or bickered back and forth over seemingly petty things. They're not that far off. So I'm not going to go spend my money. I'm going to go spend it elsewhere. And they disenfranchise fans in a sense. It's just like, if they're going to whine and cry, you know what I'm saying? Therefore, I'm not going to support that.
You know,
cause.
I could go watch college baseball, and I'd really like to watch college softball games because they're faster and more competitive for the most part. But I could go watch those guys. They're playing for the love of the game. They're not getting the mighty bucks.
Yeah.
And they love to play. Go watch a high school game. Hey, watch travel ball. I could go do something else with my time. Don't alienate me again like you have before with all this stuff about fighting over hundreds of thousands of dollars when, I mean, I understand the minor league guys are not getting their pay anyway, but that's not who it's about. It's only about them if they make it to the majors, not while they're in the minors. That's nothing that's got to be fixed, but that's a different
story. Well, and on one hand, too, if Major League Baseball is not careful, they're going to lose a lot of fans because their fan base is aging. And therefore, you don't necessarily have a lot of younger fans because guess what? Their interest is elsewhere. Whether it's video gaming, whether it's soccer, as we've seen a huge upcrease exactly within soccer. Therefore, this younger generation is going to say, you know what? Baseball is way too slow. I'm not interested. It's not a fast-paced game that I like, so therefore I'm not necessarily going to be involved. Now, you know as well as I do, completely different going to a live game than watching on TV. 100, you can't even compare the two, because watching live is so entertaining, because and the relaxing atmosphere is what makes it entertaining as well.
When I'm at the game, I could care less how long it takes.
Agreed. You're exactly
when
right.
When I'm at home watching the game, let's hurry up, get it over with.
Yeah, right.
You're right. But to be able to afford the tickets.
And they're about to outprice themselves or they're not careful.
Guess what's going to happen? If the players get their way, we pay more for the tickets.
Correct.
People don't understand. Well, I guess people do understand that aren't in the game of baseball. If you don't have fans, y'all don't make money anyway.
Correct. So, I'm going to spend my money elsewhere if they're not careful.
Exactly. Sorry about running over. We're going to be a couple more minutes. We got a few more
things. Another break.
Let me check here, because I don't think ECSN is ready to go on yet. We got one break. We'll take it. We'll come back and talk about opening day high school away about next week here on PCSN Live.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events, in their academics, at home, or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more, remember your Ace Hardware right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life because it provides you with time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. Start the online planning process now or meet with one of our pre-planning advisors here at Davis & Davis Funeral Home for your end-of-life celebration. We also offer tribute videos, memorial websites, and live funeral webcasting. Contact Davis & Davis Funeral Home to discuss the possibilities. Find us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live. If you are just tuning in, if you're interested in the 14th region matchup, Hazard Cordia has it on top now by 11 with a couple minutes to go in the third quarter. But they have grown their lead since we started checking in on the game here. Now it is back to a 13-point game. Hazard just getting the bucket to go back up. Now next week, opening day is March the 14th. For high school baseball and softball, we play first. The softball, I say we play softball first at home on the 15th against Jackson City. That'll be the first game for Powell County. The boys are on the road, I believe, on the 18th on their first game. Is that right?
We're looking. You've thrown me off because we try to work out our schedule and everything, and I didn't necessarily write down every game, because I realize like some of these games we're not necessarily covering.
It's all Dave's fault. I can find it real fast here on the handy dandy computer. But again, they did move up the opening day from the 14th or from the 21st to the 14th, and they actually ended up the end of the season a little bit earlier than what they were going to. So that'll be one less game we lost due to the change in the schedule. So
their first game is the 18th.
Friday, the 18th.
The 18th against at Morgan County.
Trying to pull up their schedule here. So we are on the road, boys. We're on the road on the 18th. Falcony girls will be at home. And I can't find that game again.
I'm on the boys' schedule.
What am I on here? Oh, I'm on Thursday. Never mind. No wonder I can't find it.
Well, here, while I have the boys pulled up here. Powell County at Morgan County, March the 18th at 6 o'clock. And then on Saturday the 19th, Mason County at Powell County, McGoffin, that's an 11 a.m. start. 1 o'clock start, McGoffin County at Powell County. So, again, they've got several games on Saturday. Do the Pirates on the 19th, again, March the 19th. And then they'll be having Fleming County hosting, Powell will be hosting Fleming County on the 21st at 6 o'clock start.
Yeah, and then the next big game coming up will be Perry Central coming on Wednesday the 23rd, which will maybe bring you that game. That may be one of the first games for baseball, other than maybe that Fleming County game. I'm not sure which way we're going yet with the radio side.
Yeah, unfortunately, Dave coaches, and I have a real full-time job, and we've got some scheduling conflicts.
But it looks like for all of us, that PCC game may be the first broadcast. If we have an earlier broadcast, we'll definitely let you know here on WSKV. It'll be up on the page, I'm sure, for the upcoming schedule of events. Again, that'll probably be done, finalized probably next week. We'll let you know more next Wednesday before season gets really started here. So, again, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a beautiful day today for practice. We're going to have some middle school guys here today for the show, but being 70-plus degrees outside, it was a nice day to work outside and get some stuff done.
Listen, it's a good day for anybody to be outside, for that matter, let alone to be getting yourself prepared.
I should have played golf earlier today. I took a day off. I was actually going to work on my field, and the tractor was down, so I couldn't work on my field when I wanted to, so I should have just went and played golf. It was absolutely gorgeous
today. Yes, it was.
So, but anyway, we're really excited about the upcoming seasons. Again, we'll schedule the all the coaches to come in, either Frank or myself, to come in maybe with some players a little bit later on in the season. We'll usually do that during our Wednesday show. So hopefully everybody can tune in to us here on the PCSN broadcast. Again, stay tuned here to WSKV as we go forward. It'll be Estill County versus Wolf County here on the WSKV streaming,
104.9,
and Facebook Live.
The WSKV Facebook Live, yes. Just to be clear.
So please tune in to Danny and William. We'll be bringing the broadcast from the ECSN crew. They do a great job over there, so give them a listen and cheer on the engineers.
If you're an engineer fan.
Well, I mean, even if you're not, well, I mean, I'm a Wolf County.
Well, listen to
both you. Both of them are rivals. You know, Wolf County's a big rival, too.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Again, I think with that game, I think you can just flip the coin. I think it can go either direction. I think both are still quality teams.
Somebody's going to the semifinals.
Yep, that's exactly
right. The only way you can look at it is you got to play. You got a chance to win. We'll be on the air tomorrow night around 7:30 with the Powell County Sports Network about 30 minutes prior to the game, and we'll bring you the game with Perry Central tomorrow night. And, again, let's get out and support the boys as we go forward. Again, you got the girls championship game coming up Friday with Owsley County and Letcher Central. And the championship game for the 14th region boys will be on Sunday. I think they play their semifinals on Saturday, and the championship game will be on Sunday at Breathitt County. So good luck to all those still alive in the girls and boys regional. Boys just getting started. Again, Hazard is leading now over Cordia. One of my picks, right? I picked Hazard. So you are wearing Hazard colors now, by the way. Not on purpose, though, right?
It wasn't intentional, no.
So, for Ken Simon, this is Dave Fodor saying good night here from PCSN Live.
Your hometown's where you want to raise your family, where being loyal to a friend's the only way.
Hello, this is Daryl Billings for Tanner Chrysler Products here in Stanton. Years ago, my parents taught me that treating people fairly was the way to survive in any endeavor. I invite you to come see us before you leave our community to buy a vehicle. You will find that our comfortable down-home environment is one we take great pride in providing to our customers and the community we love. Our future generation will thank us for buying local.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Stream the game to any internet-connected mobile device, made possible in part by Apex Network Physical Therapy, located at 156 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy.
WSKNV. V is for variety.
News, weather, sports, and talk. Bluegrass, country, folk, and southern rock.
Just like the weather in Kentucky. If you don't like us, wait a little while.